Hello again, Gooners! Well, it's good to be back, especially after a victory at Crystal Palace, no less. And who would have expected a 2-0 victory at Selhurst Park? Not me, that's for sure. So you've got to be pleased with that. There's also going to be, well, I'm going to talk about that game, obviously. I'm not sure in how much depth, but I'll have a go, see I'm coughing at the thought. Talking in depth? How often do I do that? It's going to be Captain Shallow. But talking of captains, what a way to start, eh? And, well, not the podcast, but the season. Imagine that. Odegaard, first game as official captain, a victory at Palace. I don't think things get too much better than that. We don't want to get too optimistic, carried away and so on. It's early doors as, who was it, whoever said that? Probably Ron Atkinson or someone of that ilk. But anyway, yeah, I was... It was pleasing to win the first game of the season under a huge amount of pressure. Obviously, the media stacking loads of pressure on Arteta. I think he comes out of it looking pretty good, really. He's always intact. No matter what happens, he's intact. That's the name of Arteta. He almost walks on water. I'm getting a little carried away. I need to calm down a bit. Once I start talking about fantasy football, I will seriously calm down. He was looking really good at the start. Because I've got so many Arsenal players, so clearly Arsenal players are picking up a lot of points, particularly Saliba, who was in nearly all of my teams. So at least I called that one right. I recommended that people should get Zinchenko, and some did, some didn't. And those that did benefited because he got a lot of points in fantasy football. I know it's not all about that. We'll talk about the actual game itself in a bit. So fantasy football points, of course, don't necessarily relate to performance on the pitch. Zinchenko did play well, and I'll talk about it in a bit. But his points tally was higher than Saliba's. Not many people would have said that Zinchenko had a better game than Saliba. He made more impact in terms of creating chances and so on, but no, he couldn't possibly have played better than Saliba. There's only one possibility, and again, I'll talk about that pretty soon. And I will talk about fantasy football, but let's start with the new champions, perhaps this season. Maybe we're going too far already. But anyways, it was a good first half in particular. Arsenal dominated the early exchanges in that game against Palace and went ahead from a set piece. So it just shows the benefit of bringing in a set piece coach. It was Zinchenko's looping header. I think it was a right wing corner from Saka. And Martinelli was there, giving us a first half lead. He had a chance earlier on, Martinelli. He was set up, I think, from Gabriel Jesus' run. It dropped to Martinelli and he missed the target, which was a shame. But Martinelli did have a good game and gave him a lot of Palace, a lot of problems. And in fact, I did my ratings at half time, but I'll tell you what, I'll come back to it and just talk about the second half a little bit. Obviously, keeping a clean sheet over the 90 minutes plus whatever was added on, that in itself is a result, especially away from home. And additionally, it was London derby. Saka, he managed to... To me, it was his goal. I know the dubious goals panel would give it to whoever it was who got his head on it. I forgot the guy's name, some Palace defender. Me personally, I still think the forward should get credit for that. Not just an assist, but at least nowadays assists are considered. They are, how can I put it? Not just considered, but they are, well, yeah, nearly considered the same level as scoring goals. So in a sense, I shouldn't moan about it, I suppose. There were a lot of penalty shouts against Palace. That was no surprise. Obviously, when they've got somebody like Zaha, who it doesn't take a lot for him to dive, there's always going to be a lot of penalty shouts. The ball remotely goes near a hand, penalty shout. I'm so pleased the referee, I forgot his name, but when he's refereed Arsenal games, the results have turned out positively. I'm so glad that he didn't succumb to all of that nonsense coming from the Palace players. But it was a tough game, let's not pretend. It was so hard. The chance that Arsenal were going to come out with a clean sheet and a victory was not high. Let's not make any bones about that. Saliba was absolutely magnificent in the centre-back, right-side centre-back position. To be honest, it was a perfect and faultless performance, in my opinion. At one point in the game, he showed his maturity by gesticulating to the other players that they need to keep their heads. He pointed at his head. At the end of the game, he got the Man of the Match award. His English was pretty good. He seemed very calm for such a young man. It was a sight to behold. I wasn't really expecting him to be that good, even though he, as I said, he was in my fantasy football team, and I certainly would have played him. There was talk that Tomiyasu should play instead of Ben White. I was against it because Ben White's been really good in the preseason at right back. I love Tomiyasu. I think he's a great player, but I'd let him stay on the bench for now. Let him recover full fitness before putting him into game situations, especially tough games like Palace away. That's never an easy game. Me personally, I would have given Man of the Match to Ben White purely because he was really under the cosh. He really, apart from picking up a yellow card, he didn't put a foot wrong. Neither did Saliba, but Ben White had so much more to do than Saliba. Saliba tied it up. So to me, giving Saliba Man of the Match is a bit like, say, you've got a genius working in a room and you give the Man of the Match award to the cleaning lady. She does a great job, but does she deserve, is she the breadwinner? The breadwinner was Ben White. He was the one working hard to make sure that Arsenal achieved that result. They all worked hard. Don't get me wrong. I don't want, cleaning ladies are great. They do a job too. Saliba was a bit more than a cleaning lady. I just want to emphasize the point that Ben White was, there was a lot being asked of him. He didn't get as much help as I would have liked. I think I mentioned pre-match that I was hoping that Odegaard would help him out. Turned out it was more Saka. I probably should have realized that. Saka helped him a bit, but not quite as much as probably Ben White wanted. But he dealt with everything Zaha had. And Zaha is a box, like somebody might say a box of frogs. He's jumping out here, there and everywhere. He has got pace. He didn't give Ben White too much of a problem in that respect. And whenever he did, Saliba was there. So Saliba, I can't complain he was Man of the Match. I think he was certainly the second best player, in my opinion. And he was perfect. He was actually perfect. Ben White was not as perfect as Saliba. However, as I said, I think he was busier. I didn't check the stats in terms of who touched the ball more. But if you ask me, Ben White touched it a lot more than Saliba. It was a very interesting game. And to make that point, in a way, Arteta did make substitutions. But I think Arteta played a pretty good game in as much as he picked the right team, I felt, for the game, given the preseason form. And then he threw on Tierney and Nketiah near the end, 10 minutes left only. Zinchenko was struggling second half. Not in the first half. He was probably looking like he was going to be Man of the Match. Interestingly, he got the most fantasy football points out of all of the players in the Arsenal team. He was struggling against Ayew, but fantasy football doesn't tell you that. So now I'm starting to wonder, for those that have logged in to just hear about fantasy football tips, really, Zinchenko, is he definitely going to play the next game? You'd think so, but it's not a definite. Tierney came in and arguably did better. He only had 10 or so minutes to play. But Tierney came in and wasn't fazed at all by Ayew. I can't say which player I prefer of the two. Zinchenko, to me, has to play. That has to be a place in the team for him. Whether it's at left back, though, is another story. So there is an argument to say Zinchenko should play in midfield. I don't think Xhaka had the best of games, but it wasn't maybe the worst either. He picked up a silly yellow card, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so we'll perhaps talk about that a bit more at length later. As I mentioned before, Tierney made some excellent headed clearances. Nketiah, he injected a bit of fire in the team because Gabriel Jesus, as good as he was, he only picked up 2 fantasy football points. As good as he was, he was getting crowded out a lot of the time, and I didn't feel that he was going to score. Earlier on in the match, I thought there was a possibility, but he did cause problems. And the very fact that he was on the pitch was diverting players from the others who were then unmarked, like Zinchenko when he set up the first goal. Zinchenko was more or less unmarked. And the reason was Gabriel Jesus dragged players to the far post. Obviously, Zinchenko was also far post, but different position at the far post. So he had plenty of space to head that ball back in, which he did with aplomb. And then, of course, Martinelli finished it off with a downward header. So, and Nketiah did a job too. I think he put Palace more on the back foot when he came on, purely because of the energy levels. Whereas Jesus is just running himself ragged, so he does need to come off at the way things currently stand, about 10 minutes before the end. So perhaps Arteta got it right. Me personally, I would have made the subs earlier. I could see Zinchenko was getting a bit of a run around. It's easy to say when you're not in the dugout, obviously. But I personally would have brought Tierney on. But I don't know Tierney's fitness situation. I don't know quite how fit he was. But those 10 or so minutes, he looked extremely fit, as did Nketiah. So I'd have possibly brought them on earlier, because it did look like Palace might nick something. It really was looking that way. So, that's the reason why I'd have made the earlier substitution. Lokonga also played a bit part at the very end. He came on for the new skipper, Odegaard. And, you've got to be pleased with the display from Arsenal. So let's look at my ratings then, before moving on to some very quick fantasy Premier League tips. My ratings. Well, Ramsdale, I rated him at halftime as a 7. He did make a good save to keep out Edouard. Although a lot of people or pundits said that Edouard's header wasn't that powerful, he still had to stop it. Ramsdale wasn't perfect. He made a couple of very poor clearances. So he was lucky to not get himself into jail. A get into jail card's very different from a get out of jail card. And Ramsdale was a bit lucky, but he also kept a clean sheet and made one or two good saves in the second half, if I remember correctly. I put him down as an 8 for the first half. I think second half he was just as good, if not better. My comment at halftime was Zaha is in his pocket so far. And it remained the case, really. Zaha wasn't a massive threat. He was a problem, but he wasn't a massive threat. And Ben White is the reason why. He nullified him. Saliba, as I've already mentioned, perfect display. He was there when he needed to be, and he looked very comfortable on the ball. Didn't do anything mind-blowing, but he was just safe. It feels so good to have him in defence. Gabriel alongside, another strong performance from him. He needs Saliba. I think Gabriel needs Saliba because Saliba's so calm, it affects the whole team. A bit like Ramsdale G's up the team, Saliba gets the team on a different level. So it's like from a psychological perspective, you need a Ramsdale and you need a Saliba. You need both. One's chomping at the bit and making everyone a bit wild, whereas the other one's calming everybody down at the same time. So in my opinion, you need both. You need both. You need that sort of the belief, the calm belief, and you also need the energy. And Ramsdale brings energy. Zinchenko, his first half was pretty amazing. Obviously, setting up the first goal, some of his intelligent play, it's so hard to explain it because I don't remember it that well, but I know I wrote it down. And then as well as that, on the negative side, early on, he looked a little nervous, actually. Made a couple of mistakes early on, and I wasn't expecting it because I'd seen him in pre-season and Zinchenko was a different level. And on this occasion, he wasn't. He was very good, but he wasn't a different level. And I started to think Zinchenko is human, after all. At the moment, Saliba has a godlike status, but players can't be expected to play like deities day in, day out. So we can't really expect that. As much as we'd like it, we can't expect it. Saka, first half, I think... It goes against a little bit of what I said earlier, but I've put down he put in a good defensive shift. So maybe my memory has failed me a little, and he helped out White more than I remembered. I remembered he helped a bit, but I was expecting more. But perhaps that was because White was so in the ascendancy against Zaha. Odegaard was pretty busy all over the place. Not particularly defensively, but his balls forward were incisive. Partey had a pretty amazing first half. I'm not sure he was quite as influential in the second. I actually gave man of the match for the first half to Partey. And it's quite interesting seeing my comments there. I've just put majestic and influential. So this is on theloosecannon.co.uk. So that was what I felt at the time, right at the very time when that game was played at halftime. I thought Partey was bossing it. He wasn't doing anything extraordinary necessarily, but it just seemed that the ball was like a magnet and he was always picking it up in the middle of midfield and keeping things going. Xhaka was the weak link. Surprise, surprise. No, I'm not advocating he's out of the team unless the only way I would take Xhaka out of the team is if I move Zinchenko to his position and play Tierney at left back. That I would consider. I'm not sure it's the right decision, and I'm not sure I'd do it because my view is don't really want to change a winning team. However, Xhaka picked up a silly yellow card for a dive. He didn't really offer a lot. He made a good block just before half-time in the first half. Second half, he did okay. I think he did a little bit better and obviously didn't pick up the second yellow, so Arsenal fans have to be grateful for that. Martinelli was a handful for the opposition, scoring a goal. And meanwhile, up front, Gabriel Jesus, he was marked extremely tightly and they were doubling up, tripling up on him. He still made an impact here and there and dragging players out of position to set up the first goal. That in itself obviously meant it was well worth having him in the team. So what am I going to say before going? A little bit of fantasy football stuff. I just want to cry, really, because I was top of the league. I was top of the league after one game because of the Arsenal players. The guys that really cut it for me, obviously, Gabriel Jesus, not quite as popular this week as he was the previous week. He was the most selected player in fantasy football. But now he's one of the most transferred out players in fantasy football because he only got 2 points. However, he didn't particularly look like he was going to score, but, well, the Arsenal fans that have seen him play will know that he was so busy during the match. So the team of the week on the Fantasy Premier League official website obviously has Zinchenko in it, 12 points. How do you say his name? Cher, I think it is. Cher of Newcastle scored a blinding goal from quite a long way out. He picked up 15 points, so he was a big hitter. We don't like saying it, but Kulusevski also picked up a lot of points. Salah, no surprises there. He nicked a goal. Some people said it was a bit lucky, set up one. So he picked up 12 points. Jorginho of Chelsea, he scored a penalty against Everton, so 11 points for him. Mitrovic was very impressive against Liverpool. So the Fulham forward may be worth picking up. To score 2 goals after playing in the Championship kind of says it all. So they would be my picks. Mitrovic picked up 13 points. Now I've got to decide who I'm gonna draft in, because the problem is obviously you can't have all your players from one team. So with the normal fantasy football, as it were, my team has obviously got players from clubs that we don't necessarily like talking about on this podcast, like players like Harry Kane, who got 2 points, and Son, I think he got 5 points. So I'm looking at my team. At the moment, the thing that's worrying me the most maybe is the fact that I've got, in goal, I've got a Leicester goalkeeper. They're keeping a clean sheet at the moment. But Ward is my substitute, and I put Iverson in goal. Obviously, that will switch around unless they both play a half, which I doubt. I put Iverson in because he played the final game, final preseason game of the season for Leicester. But it looks like Danny Ward is going to be the first choice keeper. And let's hope he keeps a clean sheet for my sake, because otherwise I'm drifting a bit behind, it has to be said. I'll tell you my team and tell you about some of the thoughts behind it. So Alexander Arnold, he's a bit of a no-brainer, but he only got 1 point. So that wasn't good against Fulham. Saliba, I already mentioned, 8 points. I've got Ben White, 5 points. I was a bit disappointed with that. I think he deserved more, but he picked up a yellow card. Son must have picked up a yellow card. I didn't watch the Spurs game. Salah, 12 points. Got 12 points. I wish I made him captain. I was stupid enough to give the captaincy to Harry Kane. Saint-Maximin of Newcastle, only 3 points. He caused the opposition a lot of problems, as did Bruno Guimarães. He only got 3 points too. And then up front, I had Jesus, only 2 points. Kane, I'm sick and tired of mentioning his name, thinking about transferring him out for Haaland. However, at the moment, Haaland and Kane cost about the same amount of money. In fact, exactly the same amount of money. So I could do a straight swap. The problem is, if the price of Haaland goes up after the matches are about to be played, then I won't be able to do that deal. I have to make it a double deal and then lose 5 points. 4 points, sorry. If I lose 4 points, it's not a disaster. I've done it and it sometimes works. But I have to look more long term. So at the moment, I've dropped from first to fifth in my league after Saturday's games. Edouard didn't mention. Edouard had that chance, didn't score. I didn't really want him to score, obviously, but he only picked up 1 point and got substituted. So that doesn't augur well for his future. I'll quickly tell you about my bench. I think I already mentioned I've got Danny Ward, who's obviously going to be drafted in instead of Iverson, unless there's some sort of some physical reason why he can't play the entire game. Tarkowski, I've got on my bench. I think he's value for money, but he only picked up 2 points because how many clean sheets are Everton going to pick up? To tell the truth, they have got a good run of games coming up. So if they don't pick up points now, they're never going to pick them up. If they do not start picking up points, the Chelsea game at home, obviously not the easiest. If they don't start registering wins, wins. They need wins. And they need a few of them because it's only going to get worse. After the first 4 or 5 games, they're no longer in the green zone. Those that do the fantasy football, fantasy Premier League, will know what I'm talking about. So when you've got green games, it means they're easy games. And Everton have got a number of green games coming up. I've also picked this guy, can never pronounce his name, Chukwumeka of Chelsea. He was of Aston Villa when I brought him in. He's only 4.5 million. I'm not even sure he's going to play. So I am considering shipping him out, but at the moment he's on the bench, so it's no big deal. Nico Williams, meanwhile, had a really quite a good game at Newcastle, but guess what? 0 points. So that's not really going to cut it looking ahead. So right now, it's a bit of a lottery, but I'm in this to win it. I'm not talking about the whole entire game, but at least win my league. I'm doing a lot better on the drafts. Fantasy draft, and I'll click on it now and just see if I can access it, and if I can't, I'll skip it. But yes, I've got 58 points with one of my teams. Let's see, why did I get 58 points? I'm also trying to draft in new players, like, for example, Cher, who got 15 points according to this. I thought it was 13, but what can I say? So I'm trying to bring in as waivers. I'm trying to bring in... Why am I trying to do that? Ramsey, is that... Am I crazy? Why am I trying to... He didn't get any points at all. Why am I doing that? And getting rid of Lingard. I must be crazy. Why did I do that? Oh, I think I did that last time around. So I made a few terrible decisions. So getting... Ramsey... The reason why Ramsey of Aston Villa was appealing to me was purely because... aside from being a young and very good player... He's also a player that Steven Gerrard has, the manager of Villa, has a lot of confidence in. So I thought that would be sensible. And shipping out Lingard, I also thought that would be sensible. But Lingard caused Newcastle a few problems. Not massive, but he caused a few problems. I was also trying to bring in... Oh, no, that's somebody else trying to bring in... who is it? Bailey? Villa? I also tried to bring in, and I think I successfully brought in Lucas Moura, if that's how you pronounce it, instead of Fabio Vieira. Because Fabio Vieira, I think when the draft happened, I didn't mean to get Fabio Vieira, even though, yeah, clearly he's an Arsenal player. Most of my team is full of Arsenal players. But I didn't really want him because he's crocked. Why would I want him? So I'll just quickly give you my main draft team. I won't go through all of it because I'm sure some of you are running out of patience with it anyway. So looking ahead, obviously, it's Leicester. Ramsdale's kept a clean sheet against Palace. Doesn't mean he'll keep one against Leicester, particularly if he starts taking risks. The kind of risks he took against Palace with some of his kicking, he might not keep a clean sheet. But the defence did look pretty solid, I have to say. So he's in goal. It's mostly an Arsenal team, so it'll be good to leave on this. I've got Zinchenko, so that's good news for me in my draft team. Got Gabriel, also good news, and White. So that's a lot of points, just those few. If they can build on their form against Palace and take it into the home game against Leicester. Then I've also got Trippier of Newcastle. Also, I think he picked up 5 or 6 points. I can't remember. And he could always chip in with a goal from a free kick. Then my midfield consists of Saka, Odegaard and Martinelli from Arsenal. And I've got Lucas Moura of you know who. I'm looking at trying to ship him out. I don't know if I managed to do it or not. Then up front, this is a bit mad. I think I need to change this. I've got Jesus and Nketiah. Now, the way things currently are based on the Palace game, Nketiah's only had 10 minutes to get a goal. And I know he's a bit of a miracle man. He can come on. He's wearing the number 14 now. Perhaps he could score a goal in 10 minutes, but it's not necessarily likely, is it? So I think I'm right now in front of you. Even though you can't see what I'm doing, I'm going to switch William Saliba for Nketiah. So, and I'm going to move Nketiah forward in the subs because I've currently got Edouard and I'm trying to offload him, but I'm bringing in Saliba and hoping that Arsenal can register a second clean sheet. So just a brief word before I go about an ex-gunner, which is Bernd Leno, currently at Fulham. Fulham looked really good. So well worth bringing in Fulham players, I think. But Leno was on the bench. So think twice before signing him. My current situation, as I think I mentioned, is I've got two Leicester goalkeepers fighting it out. So one way or the other, one of them's going to play, clearly. So as long as they're keeping clean sheets, I'll be pleased with that. I need a bit more than that now, I know, because the way things have panned out, my team isn't as good as I thought it was. So there I was getting all carried away on Friday, thinking that's it. Just, it's all game over. I'm going to cut this. But now it's not quite looking the same way. So on that note, I think I will say visit the website. Of course, you know the website. And if you don't, listen very carefully. It's theloosecannon.co.uk. And I look forward to seeing your comments on that website. Until the next time, adios.